Luke chapter 19, please, in your Bibles. In your Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 1102. We'll be reading the first 10 verses of the 19th chapter of Luke. And we'll please read these verses responsibly. And shall we stand, please, for the reading of this passage of Scripture? And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Then let's pray. Father, we, of course, seek thy help, thy blessing. This service is uniquely important. So we pray for thy help for those who are here, each and every one, with so many, many special needs represented. Meet every need and bless, we pray, the preaching, the preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've developed through the music this evening a terrible inferiority complex. I would like to announce at this time that there will be a postponement of Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I will wait until some night after a member of the bass section sings a solo. when I will not have developed an inferiority complex. But I am going to speak tonight on Zacchaeus. I'm going to tell you a mixture of what I know happened in the story of Zacchaeus and what I think probably happened in the story of Zacchaeus. I do not think I'll be doing an injustice to the Scriptures. I'll be adding a little bit to what I think we know about human nature, and then also filling in perhaps some things that we think happen along with the things that we know that happen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd help this poor, simple preacher. And I pray that you'd lift me out of myself. And I pray that somehow spiritual truth shall grip us, and we shall not be what we were when we came. God bless these moments together as we examine this beautiful, marvelous story. Decorates the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In Jesus' name, amen. For years, perhaps many years, Matthew had been what we would call the Internal Revenue Director of the area headquartered in Capernaum. just on the northern side of the little Sea of Galilee, known as the Lake of Tiberias. Everybody knew Matthew. He was known by all far and near, loved by few, hated by most, for he was of the most hated profession known to Israel, that profession of being a tax collector. Working for the Roman government, he got his job by bidding for it. A man would take a certain district and make a bid for the job of tax collector. And anything that he collected over and above what his bid was, the agreement was that he had made with the Roman government, was his. And so the tax collector could set the taxes. It needed no act of Congress. It needed no parliamentary decision. It simply was made unilaterally by the collector himself. There was a kid in the neighborhood of Capernaum who lived just down the road. And Matthew had seen him on many occasions, no doubt. This kid was a carpenter. His dad was the carpenter of Nazareth. And when his dad died, this boy became known as the carpenter of Nazareth. At least when he was a child, he worked in the carpenter shop and continued until he was about the age of 30. Everybody knew him. He was a quiet child. He was not one that was presumptuous or one that misbehaved. He was always proper. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, and was an honor to his mother and to his foster father. It was not unusual for this boy to come to the seat of custom where Matthew presided. Often he had done it. Anybody here who grew up for any number of years in one neighborhood knows what it is to go to certain places and hang around a while. And I'm sure that Matthew had seen this boy many times come to the seat of custom. The years or the days became weeks, the weeks became months, the months became years, and the years became many, until this boy had grown to physical maturity. It's so hard for those of us who have lived a few years to realize that young people grow so swiftly as they do. I was sitting here a while ago listening to this fine group sing, remembering when they were only beginners in the beginner department, and primaries and juniors and junior hires and high schoolers, and now they're retarded young people. And I think I know how Matthew felt. One day, this lad, who was just the carpenter, different maybe, but nobody suspicioned anything other than he was just a good boy. His custom was always to go to the synagogue. He never missed. It is said of him when he began his earthly ministry that his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He read the scriptures and memorized them like any other good Jewish lad would do in the synagogue. He says, go ahead, what is it? Jesus said, Matthew, remember as we have sat in the synagogue and read the scriptures? Remember how over in Genesis chapter 3, and verse 15, it said that someday the heel of the seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the head of the serpent would someday bruise the heel of the seed of woman. Yes, said Matthew, I have read that with you in the synagogue many times. And Jesus said, remember over in the book of Exodus when the Passover lamb was slain. Remember how that God told us that that was pointing to another lamb that would someday come and pay the sins for the sins of the world? Yes, said Matthew. I'm very familiar with that, as are you, Jesus. And Matthew, remember how that in Isaiah 53 it said, It tells about the story of the Messiah going to come. In Isaiah 9, it talks about the wonderful, as Nisha called, wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Remember that? Well, of course, Jesus. I remember that. And Matthew, remember in Isaiah 7:14, where it says, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. Remember that? Oh, yes, I remember that, said Matthew. 'Tis not an unusual story or a new story to me time and time again. Well, Matthew, remember how that this Messiah, this Jesus, was pictured in the Old Testament? Remember how that in Genesis, he was the promised seed? In Exodus, the Passover lamb? In Leviticus, he was pictured as a scapegoat. In Numbers, he was pictured as a brazen serpent. Deuteronomy, he was pictured as a lawgiver. And in Joshua, he was pictured as the prophet, priest, and king. Remember how in Judges, he was pictured as the judge of all the world. And how in Ruth, he was the kinsman, redeemer. And how in Samuel, he was the anointer of kings and kings. He was king of kings and lord of lords. And how in Chronicles, he was the great historian. And how in Ezra, he was the rebuilder of the house of God. And how in Nehemiah, he was the rebuilder of the wall around the city. And how in Esther, he was the savior of the people of God. And how in Job, he was the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And how in the Psalms, he was the song of all the ages. And how in the Proverbs, he was the truth. And in Ecclesiastes, he was pictured as the great preacher. And how in the Song of Solomon, he was pictured as the wonderful lover. And how in Isaiah, he was wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And how that in Jeremiah, he was the weeping prophet in Lamentations, he was the street preacher. And how in Daniel, he was pictured as a stone that we cut out without hands, that someday would break in pieces the kingdoms of this world and establish a kingdom that would cover the earth with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. And how in Hosea, he was a spurned but forgiving lover. And how in the minor prophets, he was the one coming in Bethlehem, Judah. Remember that, Matthew? And Matthew says, Jesus, we've been through that time and time again in the Old Testament, down in the synagogue. Well, of course, I remember that. And Jesus said, Matthew, you know how that every virgin a bride has hoped that she could bring forth the Christ child? Yes, I know that. Remember how that Haggai called me, called the Messiah, the desire of the nations? Yes, I remember that. Matthew, you better sit down now and get ready for something. I've got something I want to tell you. And Matthew began to burn in his heart. There was something going on in the side of his heart he never felt before. We called it conviction. And all of a sudden, Matthew began to feel a moist spot in the corner of his eye. And Jesus said, Matthew, I want to tell you something. And Matthew never saw him look like he looked that day. Matthew never saw his eyes look like that. Never heard his voice speak like that. Never saw his countenance glow like that. And Matthew said, what is it, Jesus? What is it? And Jesus said, Matthew, I want you to know this. Now get ready for a shout, Matthew. I am the Messiah. You're what? I mean, look, I've always known you weren't like the other boys. Quiet, maybe, and studious at the synagogue. But you're the what? You. It couldn't be. Matthew, I am the Messiah. Matthew, in just a matter of 2 or 3 years, I'm going to go to the cross and fulfill Psalm 22. In just a few years, I'm going to Calvary, and I'm going to fulfill Isaiah 53. And Matthew, when I die on the cross and dip my own soul into the torments of hell, Matthew, I'll be dying for you as your substitute, as your sacrifice. And Matthew, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the way to heaven. Matthew, if you know that you're a sinner and know that you're lost and believe that I am the Messiah and trust me as the Savior of your soul, Matthew, you can go to heaven when you die. Now, Matthew, you don't go to heaven because you get baptized in the synagogue later. You don't go to heaven because you observe the Ten Commandments or the Jewish ritual. Matthew, you don't go to heaven because you live a good life or because you would be a pharisaical in your doctrine. Matthew, if you ever go to heaven, you've got to trust me as your Savior.
And a certain burning sensation came in the breast of Matthew as he looked up and saw a face he'd seen before, but he had never seen before. He heard a voice he had heard before, but he had never heard before. He felt something he had felt before, yet never felt before. And he said, "Jesus, 15 minutes ago, if anybody had told me I feel what I feel now, I'd never believed it. But Jesus, if somebody had told me a while ago that you were the Messiah, I'd have laughed at him. But something's going on down in here, Jesus. And I believe you're right. I believe it. I believe that you're the Messiah. I believe you're the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Matthew, I believe." In that moment, Matthew was born of the Spirit of God. There was a new name written down in glory. The book of life was increased and enlarged. Take care of one extra name. Matthew became a child of God. Matthew fell at the feet of Jesus and said, "Jesus, I trust you as my Savior." And Jesus said, "Now then, Matthew, I want to say one other thing. I want you to leave all and follow me." "You want me to what?" "Leave all and follow me." And Matthew said, "But Jesus, I'm probably the richest man in Capernaum." Jesus said, "But I want you to leave all and follow me." "But Jesus, nobody believed me. I couldn't serve you. I've got a bad reputation all over this district." Jesus said, "Matthew, I want you to leave all and follow me." Why, if anybody had told Matthew that morning he had resigned his position before sundown, he'd have called him a liar. But that day, Matthew looked up in the face of Jesus and said, "Jesus, I, my cross, have taken all to leave and follow thee." And Matthew resigned his position. But wait a minute. Here's how he did it, I think. And I do not think I'm doing injustice, because much of this is Bible and the rest of it is the way it almost would have had to have happened. Matthew had a big feast, a big banquet. And at that banquet, Matthew invited all the publicans. All the publicans of the entire district were invited, and all the sinful crowd with whom Matthew had been running for those years. And Matthew paid for a big banquet feast. And at that banquet feast gathered a crowd of motley people, a crowd of people who had lived for self, a crowd of people who had never thought about the salvation of their soul, but only of greed and selfishness and mercenary enterprises. And Matthew has the people all seated out here. And Matthew stands. Can you picture it for a minute? Can you see a great banquet hall? And can you see that banquet hall filled with publicans, crooks, sinners? Can you picture it? And Matthew stands and says, "Gentlemen, I have an announcement to make tonight. I hereby officially resign my position as tax collector for the district headquartered in Capernaum." And I think I hear the buzz that swept across that room and shouts of disbelief. "Why, Matthew, you have the best district of all of Palestine. You have the coveted place. You, of all people, have it made. What in the world would possess you to resign?" Matthew says, "You fellows will have a hard time believing this story. There's a kid that grew up in our neighborhood. His name is Jesus. And that kid, he's come by my office many times. I found it not unusual when not long ago he came by. And he said he won't talk to me. And he said, 'Gentlemen, he told me something that I believed. He told me he was the Messiah. Gentlemen, I'm a new man. I've been born again. I'll sing it. I'll tell it wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow. For I've been born again. Gentlemen, I've called you tonight and fed you this meal and called you together to tell you I'm resigning, leaving all to follow this Christ of Galilee. You're crazy, said one. You can't do it, said another. How foolish, cried still another. But Matthew said, say what you will. My mind's made up. I've determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. Then he said, men, the real reason that I want you to come tonight is this. I want you to meet my master. I want you to know him like I know him. You see, something's happened to me. I trusted him as my Savior. I'm a new creature. I don't want the old life anymore. I have new desires. I have new paths to tread. I have new bridges to cross. I have new things to do. I have new goals to achieve. And I wanted you to meet him. He's in the side room. Gentlemen, I'd like for you to meet my Savior. I know you think I'm a fanatic, and I know you'll laugh. I know you'll think I've lost my mind. But gentlemen, nobody loses his mind when he prepares to meet his God. Nobody loses his mind when he decides to prepare to meet God. Nobody loses his mind when he settles his soul's salvation. Fellas, I know tonight, for the first time in my life, I'd go to heaven if I'd have. Why, I've almost memorized the Old Testament. I've sat in the synagogue and read the Scripture. I've been through all the catechisms and all the ritual, and I've worn all the phylacteries. I know it all. But gentlemen, I wasn't saved. But tonight, I received Jesus as my Savior, and I want you to know about it. Now, fellas, the reason for the meal. I want you to meet him. Jesus. And out from the side room, I think, walked the stranger of Galilee, the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000, the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, the way, the truth, the life, the good shepherd, the resurrection, and the life, the bread of life, and the living water. Out came Jesus, and Matthew said, here he is. Nobody ever came close to him and was the same after. Some trusted him and some did not, but no one was ever the same after feasting their eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Jesus walks out and humbly extends his hands. Now this is what I think happened. I know the fellow was there. But here's what I think happened. I think we're back in the back table somewhere. A little short tax collector from down in Jericho was trying to get a sight, glimpse and to see what's going on. He looked at Matthew and he said, something's happened to Matthew. Something happened. This little fellow, named Zacchaeus, he said, boy, I'd like to have what I think Matthew had. When Jesus walked out that night and Zacchaeus got a glimpse of him, he said, never saw anybody like that before. When he heard his voice, he said, never man spake like this man spake. And Zacchaeus said, I'd like to do what Matthew did. I wish I had the courage. And Matthew said, won't you trust my Jesus as your Jesus? Won't you accept him as your Savior? And the heart of Zacchaeus begins to beat faster and faster and faster and louder and faster. And Zacchaeus says in his heart, I sure would. I sure would. I sure would. I better not. My wife's back home, my kids. I better talk to them first. Jesus says, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And Zacchaeus, okay, I need rest. I'm heavy laden. I'm weary. I'm tired of sin. I better not. I guess there must have been a dozen times that evening when Zacchaeus wanted to stand up and said, Jesus, I trust you too. Oh, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if there comes a time in your life to where you have the slightest urge to come to Jesus, do it on the spot. Don't wait till next time. Little Zacchaeus said, No, better not. And that night, when Jesus walked off the platform or away from the head table,
arm in arm with Matthew, with the converts that had come. Little Zacchaeus stayed back at his table. I think I know what happened to Zacchaeus because I too was unsaved once. I think Zacchaeus walks out in the darkness of the night and he says, I should have done it. I should have done it. I should have done it. I'd love to feel what Matthew felt. I never saw anybody like that. Never heard anybody like that before. Why? Well, I've known Matthew much of his life. That old wicked guy, he's as wicked as I am, as crooked as I am. And there he is, resigning it all, giving up his money, giving his position up, giving up his house, giving up all to follow. And Jesus, but I can understand why he did it, because I'll never forget that face. During the night, on his way home, he said, I should have trusted him tonight. And if I ever get a chance to see him again, I'm going to. I'm not going to pass it up again. I think I see him as he got home. He says to his wife, sweetheart, I want to tell you somebody I met. Most unforgettable person I ever met. I met the banquet up at Levi's place. I met Jesus and Matthew trusted him. And honey, I almost did. You almost had a born-again husband. And I should have. But I'll tell you what, honey. If I ever see him again, I'm going to fold his feet and I'm going to trust him like Matthew did. Days pass. But the picture in the mind of Zacchaeus does not dim. Days pass, but the echo of the words of the Christ do not become dull. And one day, Matthew picks up the Jericho Daily News. And in the news it says, Jesus is coming through. He is going, he says, with his face set like a flint toward Jerusalem. And this strange character who healed the sick, raised the dead, caused the blind to see, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear, the lame to leap, the sick to be well, bless the children, still the waves, and calm the storm. He's coming through Jericho. Zacchaeus. Heart began to beat faster. And Zacchaeus said, I'm going to see him. And I'm going to trust him. So Zacchaeus finds the route of the parade and runs down there and finds a spot where he can see Jesus. But Zacchaeus is a short fellow. And the parade line was so thick and so tall, Zacchaeus couldn't see. And Zacchaeus, I think, said, Mister, did you let me see? Somebody looks around and says, yeah, you old IRS man, drop dead as far as I'm concerned. You robbed me, robbed my family, and starved my kids. Don't bother me. Get on back. But Zacchaeus said, I've got to see him. I saw him once before, and I've never forgotten him. I've got to see him. Zacchaeus tries to stand up and look over their shoulder, but he keeps being knocked down. But Zacchaeus said, see him I must, and see him I will. And see him, he did. I can see him as he runs inside a house, up on top of him, the flat roof, so he can watch him. But it's worse up there, because looking down, the shorter people even block his view. And Zacchaeus can't find a place to see him. And Zacchaeus says, what'll I do? I've got to see him. I've got to see him. He sees a sycamore tree. He says, I'll climb it. Zacchaeus climbs that sycamore tree. And begins to look down the path to see the Galilean come. You know, there are four obstacles at least that Zacchaeus had to overcome. First obstacle he had to overcome was social obstacle. He was a tax collector. He wasn't socially norm, average, standard. Let me tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what social strata from which you come, Jesus wants you. It doesn't matter how poor or how rich, Jesus wants you. It matters not how poor he wants you. It matters not how rich you must have him. It matters not how learned, unlearned, how literate, illiterate. Doesn't matter! Doesn't matter! Come to every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Your little bus kid. The shoes you have on are not your own, but someone wore them thin and gave them to you. Jesus is looking for you. If you're a mission man torn and tattered by the experiences of life, and tonight the past of your life
has led you to the bottom of sin when you stumble into a rescue mission from a gutter. Doesn't matter. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. Come now, let us reason together, says that marvelous passage. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But you say, you understand, preacher, I've gone to the bottom. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But you say, preacher, you understand? One man said to me, I've taken this hand, and I've taken a life. I'm a murderer, he said. God wouldn't have me. You take one step toward Jesus in believing faith, and God will grab you up and sweep you in the kingdom so fast, you won't know what hit you. So, Zacchaeus, social obstacles. I've never told you this. The most amazing night of my life, one of the two or three, I guess. I was sitting in my study one night. Somebody came in who had made an appointment to see me. It was a lady, I'm guessing, in her mid-30s. She was not the most feminine lady I'd ever seen, but she came in. And she said, Dr. Hiles, or Pastor Hiles, she said, this is my story. She said, I am a man by night and a lady. A woman by day. She called a name. She called the name of a business in this town that she operated. If I called the name of that business, everybody in this room who's lived in this town 6 months would know that business. She said, by daytime, I'm, and she called a name, a female name. And she said, I'm registered with the income tax people of this country as a woman. And then she said, I had a sex operation. And she said, by night, I'm a man. On my way home from work every day of the business where I run, and that business is within a 5-minute drive of where I stand tonight, and all of you would know what it was if you've been in this town just a few months. She said, on my way home at night, I change clothes and become a man. And she said, I'm married. My wife does not know I'm a woman by day. My employees do not know I'm a man by night. Can you imagine how I felt? I felt like I'd met Cousin It from the Adams family. She said, Reverend, she said, nobody has been down as far as I've been. She said, Reverend, you think God would have me? And I said to her, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. She said, could I come back? Could I think about it and come back and see you? And I said, sure. And so, a week or two later, she came back to see me, but she came as a man. And I almost lost my mind. I mean, after he left, I took a walk. And I said, Lord, you're going to help me. I've about had all I can take. That little story to tell you this. I don't care what you've done. That's what Jesus died for. Say, Brother Hiles, how deep does Jesus' love and grace go? Just a little deeper than the deepest sin. How high does His love extend? A little higher than the highest need. How wide does it extend? A little wider. And the farthest one from the cross, Zacchaeus said, I'm coming. I have social obstacles, but I'm coming. But Zacchaeus had more than social obstacles. He had physical obstacles. Little bitty fellow, short of stature. Nobody took him seriously. Doesn't matter. The blind heard him badly. The deaf happily heard him, received him. The lame were made to walk. The blind to see. The deaf to hear. I mean, all they come to Jesus. It doesn't matter what physical obstacle you have. Doesn't matter. Come to Jesus and He'll take you and make you His own. That isn't all. He had financial obstacles. He was rich. He knew what he had to do. He knew it. He knew that if he came to Jesus, it would cost him. His wealth, his riches, Let me tell you something. I have a Bible that says, if we gain the whole world and lose our own souls, it'll not profit us. He had physical, social, and financial obstacles. But I guess the greatest obstacle ahead of all was religious. You see, we folks who are not blue bloods, some of you folks are Hungarian, and you came from Hungarian folks, and some of you are Mexican, and you come from people who are Mexicans, and some of you are Romanian, you come from Romanian stock, and some of you are Polish, and you come from Polish stock, and some of you are black people, and you came from black stock. But there are those of us who are just old Kerr Alley dogs. You know, I'm Scotch, Irish, Indian, French, Texan. I'm just sort of a tossed salad. It's hard for us to understand. But there are hundreds of people in this room who, when they came to Christ, they were disowned. They not only gave up their sins, they gave up their family. They gave up their heritage. They were no longer considered members of their race because most religions are connected. I mean, you've got Roman Catholic, and you've got Greek Orthodox, and you've got German Lutheran, and on it goes. And for many folks to give up their religion and come to Christ, it means a tremendous obstacle family-wise. One of my favorite people is Dr. Jacob Gartenhouse. Dr. Gartenhouse has been for many years the head of a Jewish missionary enterprise and organization. Dr. Gartenhouse on the streets, I believe, of New York City, at least a big eastern city, Dr. Gartenhouse got saved. And the day he got saved, his old crowd came with stones and hurled him at him and stoned him almost to death. His family, his father was a Jewish rabbi in Jerusalem. And his family had a funeral service and buried Jacob. The old man tells about it how, God bless him, one of the most delightful people. It was Dr. Gartenhouse who said, he had a gallbladder operation one time, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, you're looking at the Jew truly in whom there is no gall. When the Gentile plays golf, he says 4. When the Jew plays golf, he says 398. He says, did you know that the highway between New York City and Miami, Florida, is the Jewish Passover? His family had a funeral service and buried Jacob. He was no longer their son. He was not welcome in their house. His father was a rabbi in the city of Jerusalem. Jacob Gartenhouse saved his money and prayed and prayed and saved and saved and prayed. One day decided to take a plane and fly to Jerusalem and witness to his dad and tell him about Jesus. He saved and prayed and prayed and saved and saved and prayed and took a flight. Went to Jerusalem. Got a cab. Went to the house where his dad lived, walked up and knocked on the door. His old Jewish rabbi father came to the door, and Jacob Gartenhouse said, hello, Daddy, this is Jacob, your son Jacob. And after traveling halfway around the world, his ears heard his father say, I have no son Jacob. Jacob is dead. Jacob is dead. But, Papa! I'm Jacob, your son Jacob. I've come from the United States to see you, Papa. I'm your son Jacob. Let me come in and talk to you, Daddy. His rabbi father said, I have no son named Jacob. Jacob is dead. Jacob is dead. He slammed the door in the face of his own son. Jacob Gartenhouse went back to the cab and back to the airport and back to America. You listening? Years became many. His old rabbi father was dying or near death or couldn't live long. And somebody went to see him, and his father said, could you call Jacob, my son Jacob? And word came to Jacob Gartenhouse that his daddy wanted to see him.
Got to Gartenhaus, got in a plane, flew to, once again, to Jerusalem. Got a cab, went down to the synagogue, and his daddy was on his knees in the altar of the synagogue, praying as best he could to Jehovah. Dr. Gartenhaus walked in the back door, and the building was empty, except his daddy, Rabbi Daddy. He looked back, and he saw Jacob Gartenhaus, and his old rabbi dad said, "Jacob, my boy Jacob, my boy Jacob." He ran back to meet him, and Jacob ran toward his dad, and the son and father embraced each other. Jacob Gartenhaus got his Bible there in the Jewish synagogue and told his rabbi father that Jesus was the Messiah. And I love to hear him tell how his daddy at the altar lifted his hands toward heaven and said, "Jeshua! Jeshua! Jeshua! Messiah!" Which is Jesus is the Messiah. And Jacob and his dad embraced. And his dad, not long after, went to see the Messiah. Have you gone back to tell the old crowd yet? Huh? Have you had your feast like Matthew had? Do those with whom you used to run know you've been changed? Have you told the old crowd? Listen, America's full of people tonight who'd be saved if people that come to Jesus would do what Matthew did and get burdened about the old crowd. There's somebody you could reach that'll never come to hear me preach. There's somebody you could win that'll never come and speak to me. There's somebody you could win that'll never come inside this church. I'm saying there's somebody in this world that you could win that nobody else can win. It's the old crowd. Matthew did. Jesus walks down the Jericho Road. Tomorrow, he's going to Calvary in a few hours. He has to go by way of the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, his precious friends. Then he has to go to the upper room for the Last Supper, and then on to Gethsemane to pray, and then to the hall of the high priest, and then to Pilate, and then to Herod, and back to Pilate. In just a few hours, he'll feel the slashing of the cat of nine tails upon his back. In just a few hours, he'll see them come with the cross and nail him to the cross and lift him between heaven and hell. But Jesus, doesn't matter what he had going on, he always had time for a seeking sinner. Jesus, knowing exactly where Zacchaeus was because he had traced him with his heavenly radar ever since that night he saw him in Matthew's banquet hall. Jesus looks up in the tree. "Zacchaeus." I like that. Zacchaeus said, "He knows my name. He knows yours too.
He knows where I am."
"He knows where you were last night too."
"Zacchaeus,
I'm hungry. Has your wife got any collard greens?"
"Huh?"
"Got any hot dogs? That's kosher hot dogs." And Zacchaeus said, "I'm getting out of this tree." And the Savior said, "Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today." Zacchaeus goes home that night and says, "Jesus, you better stay out here. I got to go and get my wife ready for this." Zacchaeus walks in and says, "Honey, I got company." She says, "You know my hair is rolled up, and you know I was going to wash it tonight." If a man here knows that's what happened. "And all I've done is open a can of beef and beans." You didn't get that, did you? That's just for you sharp people. Zacchaeus says, "Honey, remember, I told you who I saw up there at Matthew's place, huh? Remember? Yeah, I remember. What are you doing so late anyhow? Beans are getting cold. Honey, remember, I told you I saw him, that fella. Jesus, yeah, you told. Guess where he is?"
"Where is he?"
"He's outside the door." "Where?" "You better talk to him while I fix up a little bit." 3 hours later, she came back. Jesus walks in, sits down at the table. Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, how would you like to trust me as your Savior. And Zacchaeus said,
I already did. I said, if I ever saw you again, I'd do it. And I did it up the tree.
Zacchaeus said, now, honey, you better do it too. She said, yes, sir. She bowed her head and trusted the Savior. Now, he said, Abe, you're next. Abe said, Jesus, I trust you as my Savior too. Now then, you girls, go on, do it. We trust you as our Savior. And all his house got saved. Because Zacchaeus got saved. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the master came that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. For I'm going to your house to stay. For I'm going to your house today. And Zacchaeus was born again. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless the simple message from a stuttering preacher. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Of course, no one would leave now.